each week I read the assigned scriptures for the upcoming Sunday, looking for the good news in our readings. What is it that we should hear that will bring us back to hear more? What is it that will intrude in our lives in some meaningful and lasting way? Certainly, we don't want to be pummeled week after week with a litany of our shortcomings and wrongdoings. We can beat ourselves up on our own at home or at work. We don't need someone standing behind a barrier of ornate brass to list all the ways that we are missing the mark. We need something that gives us hope. We need something that gives us assurance. We need to hear that even though we do miss the mark and are struggling to carry the heavy burdens of the lives that we have made for ourselves, there's something bigger than just us. That there is help and support and concern and love. Sometimes good news in Scripture jumps out like friends leaping from a well-hidden corner to cheer happy birthday at a surprise party. At other times, good news needs to be uncovered, maybe even teased out. But good news is always in Scripture. From the beginning, when God, from no apparent necessity, made light out of darkness and breathed his own spirit over the formless void and set his word in the motion of creating. In our first reading today, we encounter Abram, not yet Abraham, still Abram. His name is not yet changed, but his life has been. Abram has led a settled life in Haran with his father and their kinsfolk until this stationary existence was interrupted by God, who said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." At this time, Abram, who is 75 years old, packs up his belongings, which are many, along with his wife and nephew, and takes off for the land that God has promised to show him. After a famine which causes a detour to Egypt, an incident with Pharaoh that involves Abram passing off his wife Sarai as his sister, and a separation between Abram and his nephew Lot, God again speaks to Abram and says to him, "Raise your eyes now and look from the place where you are northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted." In response to that vast promise of progeny and land, Abram builds an altar to God. He continues to follow God's direction, even in the face of being tempted with riches by the king of Sodom. God again speaks to Abram, this time in a vision. And God, apparently sensing the uncertainty of Abram, says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Abram, true to what God senses, has begun to waver in his steadfast trust. He responds to God, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." At that time, if one had no biological children, the children of his servants became his rightful heir. Again, God reminds Abram of his promise, the promise of progeny, the promise of descendants, and not just a couple, but as many as the stars. In the past, this was enough. A promise from God was sufficient enough for Abram to trust, but not this time. Abram has been following the plan that God lined out for a while now, with no sign of it coming to fruition. Abram is frustrated. He wants the land and the children now, or at least in the foreseeable future. When he started this journey, he was 75 after all. He and Sarai are not getting younger. As a matter of fact, the idea that they would have children at all is beyond ridiculous. Abram asks God for a sign. He needs assurance. His trust reserve is low. His human suspicion is high. And rather than God thundering out against Abram's questioning and lack of faith, rather than God striking Abram dead right there for not maintaining his steadfast trust, God makes a covenant with Abram. And Abram is again assured. We know the experience of Abram. We know what it's like to be uncertain. Maybe we haven't literally taken off for a foreign land, but we have wandered, and we have wondered. We've embarked on a journey of faith, fully trusting that God is with us, directing our path. And on that journey, we found ourselves doubting the promise of God, questioning our faith, and sometimes our sanity. And in these times of our deep insecurity, we ask God for a sign, something that gives us assurance, something to reassure us that we are on the right path, that God is still with us, and that we are with Him. 10 years ago, I found myself very much in the place of Abram. I had been poked and prodded, examined physically and psychologically. I had told my spiritual autobiography so many times that I was bored with my own story. I'd been questioned by committee after committee. And now, after a series of surprises, I found myself in seminary on the top of a mountain in Tennessee, buried in books and alone. Just a couple of years earlier, I'd spent my days skimming our pool and cleaning out the drains, often discovering the bodies of frogs who had succumbed to the many chemicals used to keep the pool free from algae. It was on one of these days that a friend of mine who was keeping me company as I went through the daily regimen noted that ecologists use frogs to determine the health of the environment. Frogs, she noted, alive, or a sign that everything's okay. And with that, the conversation moved to something more pertinent, and her words were not given much thought until a dark night in seminary. There was 1 week of classes left. We were all tired and homesick, and had spent the evening in a broiled debate that left me angry again at one of my classmates. When I returned to my house, the shack, I sat in my familiar spot on the porch to think about the events of the semester and specifically the events of that evening. It was not long before there was a flood of tears. This was all some cosmic mistake. If I couldn't get along with my fellow seminarians, how could I possibly ever get along with a vestry? Those people are mean. I was not meant to be a priest. I had known that all along. All those people that said I should were obviously mistaken. In the morning, as soon as I could get my things together, I would set off for home, and that would be that. I would return to my normal life, and this whole failed chapter would be behind me. In that moment, I felt greatly relieved. But for some reason, I decided I should give God the final say. And I said to God, if for some unknown, crazy reason you really want me to do this, to be a priest, you better send me a sign. Now. I was pretty demanding. And I said somewhat offhandedly, just send me a frog or something. Certain that I was right, that I was not meant to be a priest, as I most often am certain that I'm right, I get up from my chair to go into the house and sleep before my exodus in the morning from this mistake. And blocking the entrance to the door was the biggest toad I have ever seen. I'd never seen a frog at Swanee before and have not seen one again to this day. But on that night, my way was blocked. My plan of escape was stymied by a toad. I immediately sat back down in the chair and stared at the toad in the doorway, trying to assure myself that I was not hallucinating. Like Abram, I had forgotten the promise that God would be with me all the way. And like Abram, I was not struck down for my doubting or lack of faith. I was given what I needed to continue. We know what this is like. We know about doubt. Do we remember the promise? Can we believe that the God who brooded over creation is the same God that brooded over Jerusalem and still broods over us? Jesus said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." God wants to shield and protect even the city that kills his messengers, the very one sent to tell the people what God wants them to hear. How much more assurance do we need? It's okay to have doubts. It's okay to be uncertain. It's okay to take detours and sometimes miss the path. God is faithful. God never wavers from his promise, the promise to be with us, even to the end of the ages. He's waiting to take us under his wing, to assure us, to guide us, and to bring us to the place that he has provided for us. And that is very good.